Okay, so I've got like 15 minutes to convince you all of everything that the church believes. And we're going to start right now. Now, I specifically don't want to try to do that. I always hesitate to say anything, but like me growing up, Easter was one of the four days I was in church. We went on Christmas and Easter, and then when we visited my grandmother's house, we always went to church. And I say that just because if you come to church two or three times a year, you're in good company. And welcome. And I'm really excited to have you here to worship with you. If you're visiting from out of town, it's a pleasure to have you here. I hope you have had a wonderful, and will continue to have a wonderful visit with your family. But I am serious in not wanting to stand here and feel like it is my job to try to convince you of anything. And I think too often that's how people in my role view this, right? It's Easter. This is that chance to talk to most of the folks who are going to be around. And like, you've got to kind of hit it out of the park and as if like I have the power to convince anyone of anything. Or like, that's even really my goal in doing this, right? If you've been around St. David's at all, you know that what we talk about and focus on is inviting people into what we share and do here. In whatever way or to whatever degree you are comfortable and feel called to do so. There is nothing that is here by requirement or obligation. I don't think the kingdom of God has anything about requirements and obligation in it. It's an invitation. Everything that has been done for us has been done by our Lord, by our God. That's what we believe. And yet somehow we get convinced that there's like this scale of faith, you know? And man, I don't know where that cutoff is, but I hope I make it, you know? I just don't think that's how any of this works. Wherever you are, whatever you're kind of experiencing, whatever brought you here, I invite you just to kind of open your hearts to that and to see where it goes. And understand that I don't need it to be directed in any particular direction. And I hope you don't feel that way either. I think often, myself, folks in my position, and myself included, even though we're supposed to be the ones of great faith, right? We're the ones that have the least, right? Because we get so convinced that it's our job to convince you of something, or it's our job to do something so good that you fill in the blank. I'm not sure where to go with that one. But like, you know, that I'm supposed to kind of like pull off some great, you know, show or something like that. And I just reject that kind of whole cloth. And I think we're in good standing, at least as far as we encounter this gospel, right? Because you have the disciples who don't believe any of this, right? They don't come into this stuff until much later. Like the stuff that we believe, the stuff that we hold on to as the Christian church followers of Jesus, it is stuff that the disciples themselves came to over time. Like they've been following Jesus for 3 years, right? Listening to everything he says. And they go onto the tomb not to see the risen Christ. They go onto the tomb because they heard that someone stole his body. So if you're ever worried about not having enough faith, please disabuse yourselves of that idea, right? This whole thing isn't a test. It's not some kind of weird contest or, you know, work of achievement. And I think too often that's what we're convinced of. That's what we kind of focus on. Like there are certain things that we have to do or say. There's a way in which we have to believe specifically in order to be right. Right? The trouble is if you go from this church to any of the other 40 churches around here, you're going to hear a different thing that we believe. It's not going to be totally different. I mean, we're going to hold on to some basic foundations, right? We believe there's a God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, that Christ came to the earth, fully human and fully God, lived, died, and was resurrected and ascended for us, right? Like, you're going to get that in most every Christian church. But beyond that, there's a lot that we disagree about. And so I invite you to kind of engage the core principles of our faith, of the Christian faith, this Sunday. And just kind of wrestle with them, wonder with them, figure out where you stand with it. And then see where that takes you. And give yourself the freedom to work through the rest of it. Right? There's an old kind of father of the church who has this kind of like famous line that, you know, in what is essential, may we have unity. In what is non-essential, may we have liberty. And in everything, may we have charity, right? And I think in a lot of ways, our church, at least in the West, has lost a lot of that. I don't see things. I've been in few experiences that are less charitable than Christians fighting about something. Whether it's the color of the carpet, or the words and the things that we say on Sunday, whether it's about sexuality or gender or whatever else, women as priests, we're still having that fight, believe it or not, all over the place. And it's not essential. It's not the stuff of our creeds. It's not the stuff of what God has kind of come to do for us. Because all those kinds of things lead to dissension and division, angst, and the feeling that everyone is right over and against one another. Does that make sense? And that is just not evidenced in Scripture from what I can find anywhere. It just isn't. Have your opinions and hold them and those convictions strongly. I encourage you. But beware if you start feeling like you all of a sudden have all the right answers. Because we've been doing this for a long time, and there are very few right answers that I can offer you, at least. I'll pretend like I have them. Don't worry. And I'll subject you to them, and I repent of that. I think a lot about growing up. I think about the way in which I had internalized, you know, the truth of Scripture. And I believe there is truth, by all means. I don't think it's all relative. I don't think it's all, like, kind of make it up whatever you will. I think there is something true. And I guess what I would offer is I think more than just Christians are looking for it. The things that we have found, the truths of our faith that we have found that bring comfort and bring new life and bring resurrection into our lives, that is what I want us to hold on to. That is what I want us to seek out. And I want to let that engage us where we are. I spent too much of my life reading the Bible, deciding what was right about it and how to understand it, and then being convinced I need to get everyone else to believe it in the exact same way. Maybe I'm just bad at it, but that did not work out super well for me or for the people. Definitely not for the people I was talking to. We are people of resurrection. That's what today's about. Today's not about understanding the resurrection in a particular way. It's not about understanding who Jesus is in a particular way. What the resurrection is about the hope that has been given to us that this life is not the end of what we look toward, that this isn't the end of everything, that the death that we so often fear and look to with anxiety and with fear is not the end of the story. I don't know exactly what things look like. I don't know how it's all going to come out. But I do know that we live in a world where there is resurrection and where there is new life. We see it around us all the time. We see it every season as it comes back around. And we are offered it in our scriptures and in the person of Jesus, whom we celebrate his resurrection today. All this is to say is that if you are anxious about anything, whether you believe or not or have enough faith, whether you're not sure about what all this is or what we're doing or why we're doing it, or if you just kind of grew up being taught that a certain thing is right and now find yourself questioning some of those things, right? Wherever you are in that, know that you're in good company. Know that you are okay, that you are loved and the beloved of God. We are invited to be children of God, not because of what we do or what we say or what we profess, but because God has come all the way to us to meet us where we are and to invite us into new life. And the primary way in which he did that was through Jesus, his life, death, and resurrection. And then from there, in all these other ways, through the church, through our sacraments, our baptism, our confirmation, our communion together, this table, all of it is to remind us day by day, week by week, that we are God's and that God desires to be with us, that this is all for us. Please know that you are loved, that you are wanted, that you are desired as you are, that you're not kind of in holding until you kind of get to a certain level of goodness or of rightness, and then God will love you, and then you'll be good enough. This idea of good enough, I think, is poison in our world. You are good. Sure, we do things that are not great. We sin. That is a reality that we live in. I'm not saying that that's not true. What I'm saying is you are good, and that has nothing to do with what you do or don't do. that has everything to do with God's declaration of love and mercy and grace over you. What Christ came to bring was freedom, to bring a promise of resurrection and of new life. That is what is offered to us. And for me, that is an exciting thing that we get to participate in. We get to live it out, and it looks a little different for all of us. The way in which God and the Holy Spirit moves in our hearts and calls us into new life, it's different for all of us. And I'm excited about that opportunity now. It was a very closed-off time when I was just convinced that everyone had to see things the way I saw things. And now I say that out loud, and it sounds crazy to me. But I remember that. I remember feeling almost like I didn't even need the Bible anymore, right? Because I got all the truth out of it. I kind of like squeezed it dry, and now I can give it to the world, right? And all I was doing was limiting myself, right? Limiting the opportunity that I had to discover, to be surprised by, and to join in the wonder of our Lord and what God is doing in this world. When we have the kids up here for family service and do a children's sermon, if you ever notice, we tell the story, and then we don't tell them what to believe. We say, I wonder blank, and we ask questions. We invite the kids to wonder about the stories of our scriptures, the stories of our God. And that's what I want to invite you, no matter what age you are, today and always to do. We have our traditions and our teachings. We have our scriptures, and I invite you to wonder on them. And to think about how God is interacting with you and in this world. To wonder about how you can participate and be a part of it in this world alongside of God. Because there is so much that we have the opportunity to do. And I am convinced that too often we limit ourselves because we think we ought or ought not to be doing certain things. We look at other people and we view them as better or holier or whatever. And we think, I wish I was more like that. And we try to emulate that. I don't want you trying to be like anyone. I want you to figure out who God has created you to be and to live it to the full and to see God's new life and resurrection in the midst of it and to go and do that in the confidence that God has set you free by Christ's life and resurrection and that you have the opportunity to pursue what God is doing in your life and in this world because of you. There are so many places and so many interactions and so many friendships that you all have that I will never have the opportunity to engage. And God has you there because you're the best people to be there. They're your friends already. They're your colleagues. You engage with them because you already have relationships with them. They're a part of your life. Like, so often we almost feel like we've got to go out and like meet new people expressly for the purpose of like inviting them into the church or something like that. Like, there are plenty of people in our lives now that we can serve and that we can encourage and that we can love. And whether they ever set foot in this church or not is not the point. The point is that there would be greater love and mercy and peace and joy in this world, that the fruit of the Spirit would grow and would flourish both in our lives and in the lives of the people in this world. That we would become more and more connected with the creation that God has given us and made us stewards over. That we could care for one another and ourselves better. And that we can live to the fullness of what Christ and God have created us to be. That's my hope in Easter. Not that I can convince you of anything. Not that I can, like, finally, in a nice summation, tell you exactly what you're supposed to believe. But that I can invite you to wonder about the mystery of the resurrection. The mystery of the Eucharist and of our baptism. Those are the words. Mystery was the word the church used to use all the time to talk about these things. We have a bunch of kids, some of whom are receiving communion for the first time. You know, they waited and we had a class for about 4 weeks. And it's interesting. Like, and I have such a good time talking with them and kind of like trying to teach them about the things of our communion and the things of our Eucharist and what we do together and who we are as Christians. But at the end of the day, it's not about what those kids know or what any of us know. Right? We're not going to get a pop quiz at the end of time. Like, the judgment isn't like a Scantron test. Do they still use those? They don't even use those anymore, do they? I'm dating myself. God loves you. Full stop. That's why we celebrate and gather here together. To celebrate and rejoice in the love of God for us that was shown to us in the life of Christ. And that death was not the end of that story. The resurrection was, and it continues on. And God's Holy Spirit is with us to lead us and guide us into truth. I invite you to give yourself the freedom to live into that. I invite you to celebrate in all the things that God has created in you. Yes, turn away from the things of sin. Turn away from the ways in which we hurt ourselves and one another, the ways we hurt this world, please, by all means. But I haven't met too many people that come into this space that have been convinced of God's love for them and God's forgiveness for them that is out trying to cause harm to anyone. Right? I think we somehow get afraid that if I tell you you're free, go and live your life, go and follow your heart, that you're just going to go off and start being terrible to one another. I haven't seen that happen. So go. Listen to what the Holy Spirit is doing in your heart. Wrestle with it. Wrestle with the things that you really don't want to do, but you know you need to do. Wrestle with the things that you're doing and ask yourself, why am I doing all of these things if it's not where my heart is? Sometimes it's because I need to go to work and make money and feed my family. That's legit. I'm not talking as much about the things of this world as much as I am about the things of our interaction and of our life together. Because we have such a gift in one another. We have such a gift in being able to interact with the people of this world and this creation. It is incredible. The more I meet people, the more I open myself up, and instead of looking at them and assuming I know everything about them, or assuming that I know what they need to hear and know, just having the opportunity to engage and listen to them. And I'm not always great at this, don't get me wrong. But as I do that and have the opportunity to do that, I am amazed at the things that I learn, the ways in which I am changed and moved because of my interaction with the people that God has put in my life. And so I hope this Easter season that you would be able to interact with the people around you, that you would be able to interact with the Holy Spirit and be moved and be changed and wonder at the things of God, be set free from the things that we ought and ought not to do, and to live joyfully and fearfully in our Lord. So again, welcome. It is a pleasure and honor to worship with you. I am so overjoyed to be able to do this and share in this with you both this day and whenever we gather together. I invite you into this world seeking after the things of God, being informed by the truth and the belief and the faith of our tradition, of the cross, of Jesus, of all of this, and to be transformed. Amen.